Well, I was all ready to start my new series in 1 Samuel today, and I was on my way home from Texas Friday afternoon, and I really felt the Lord telling me to do something different. And that really stresses me out, because I like to be prepared ahead of time. And I was all ready to go. Rob picked out songs based on my, you know, my series and things like that. And I don't know why. I still don't know why we're doing something different, but this is what he gave me. And we're going to look at the birds this morning. So, but I'm also encouraged this morning, just based on certain prayer requests and things I've been hearing this morning, that the Lord wants us to hear this scripture this morning and go through it. So I'm excited. So sorry we're doing something different, but not sorry, because I think God's up to something. So, all right. So as you know, last week I went on vacation. It was kind of a selfish vacation just for me. Leanne and the kids stayed home. Oscar really wanted to come with me to Texas. This was a bird watching trip with an old friend of mine. And we were seeking birds. So we have our, you know, nice cameras. We're looking for new birds. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the nerdy hobby of serious bird watching, most bird watchers keep a life list. So this is a list of different species of birds that they've seen. And my life list prior to the trip was at 480 species. So I was really hoping we picked this place in southern Texas, because it has a lot of different species you can't find anywhere else in the United States. And I wanted to hit the milestone of 500 species of birds on my life list. So this was the goal. This is what I was trying to seek out. This was my quest. So I'm just going to share with you a couple of the pictures that I got. Now, again, these birds, this one here is a type of warbler. It does migrate through here, but most of the pictures I'm going to share here at the beginning are birds that you could only find in South Texas. So this one is called a plain chachalaca. You want to say chachalaca? It's kind of a fun word to say, isn't it? And it's kind of a plain-looking bird. It's a little bit bigger than a chicken, maybe, not as big as a turkey, and they make really loud noises. So these, in South Texas, this is, what's that? I'm not going to make the noise. This sermon gets recorded. Here's another one. This is called a black-bellied whistling duck. Black-belly, and when they fly, they kind of let out a type of whistle. But different type of duck than what we get here. This one is called a great kiskadee. You guys want to say kiskadee? It's kind of a type of flycatcher. These were all over the place. Pretty birds. Let's see here. Can you see that one? This one's very well camouflaged. That's right. Yeah. So this one is called a common parakeet. And so here's the bird. You can see the eye. It's like a cousin to a whippoorwill, if you know what a whippoorwill is. So, yeah, very camouflaged. We were lucky to have found this one. Here's another one. This was actually taken pretty late in the evening. It was almost dark, but it was in a park where kids were playing soccer and baseball, so the lights were actually lighting up. So between the lights of the soccer field and then on the computer, I brightened it up a little bit. But this is actually a native parrot down in South Texas. It's the only one of the only places in the country where you can find a parrot. This is called a green jay. It's a cousin to a blue jay. I think they like to party a little bit more. It looks kind of like a party bird. And then just to share with you, this is a terrible picture because it was probably 3/4 of a mile away. But this falcon here is called an Aplomado falcon. And I'm sharing because that was my number 500. I got it on Wednesday morning. So it was a good trip, and my whole point in sharing this is it took time and effort and energy to seek these things out. And I got to my 500, so I felt very fulfilled Wednesday morning. So I want to talk about seeking things this morning. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 25 to 34. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to hundreds and thousands of people. And he says in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." How many of us, raise your hand, have struggled with fear, anxiety, or worry? Rob, you shot that one up pretty quick. How many of us have gone through a loss of a job, or broken relationships, or struggling finances, or the next season of life, we're worried what it's going to bring? Oh, I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but sure, go ahead. So this is what we're going to look at this morning, church, because I think because we all struggle with this type of thing, we need this. We need to hear from the Lord. And who better to go to than Jesus? So Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" I think we'd all say, yes, it is. But what's interesting is these are things that we need to get through life, don't we? We need food to live. We need clothing to wear. Jesus, as I said earlier, is giving this Sermon on the Mount, and his audience is probably mostly poor. They're living day by day, just struggling to get by, hoping that they're going to make enough money for their daily food. They probably only have one or two articles of clothing to wear until they would become rags, and then maybe they would buy some more. And I think what Jesus is saying here is food and clothes are important, but life is more than what we eat or wear. There's more purpose than just getting by. And I don't think, I want to be clear, Jesus is not saying to be lazy, to quit your job, to avoid responsibility, to not save for the future. I think he would say those are very good things. But I think what he is saying is don't let fear, anxiety, worry consume your thoughts or feelings. Now, here in America, I think we're all pretty blessed. None of us are probably worrying about wearing daily clothing or food. So how much more do we need to hear this? Because we worry about things that we don't even need, right? So he's speaking, just keep that in mind as we keep going forward. He's speaking to people that are wondering, am I going to have food to feed my kids tomorrow? And he's telling them this. So Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air." And I highlighted the word look because in the Greek, we notice that's an imperative, that's a command. So look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. One of my favorite commandments from Jesus. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So I don't know if you guys know this. If you're not serious bird watchers, you might not know. But birds don't have refrigerators or pantries or storage units. No bird, though, is worrying about tomorrow. And I was reminded of this even before I knew I was going to preach on it. When we were bird watching this last week, this is a ringed kingfisher. It's quite a bit larger than the ones you might see around here in Minnesota. And it's a southern Texas specialty again, so we were really seeking this species out. And we went to this lake where they were normally being seen at one of the state parks. And we get to the lake, you know, we're walking, I don't know, mile back or something like that. And we get to the lake and it's dry. This place is dry. And the bird's called a kingfisher, right? So you need water and fish to find something like this. So it was a little disappointing, but we ended up finding it later in that day at a different lake. And it reminded me, even though some lakes might dry up, the Lord provides for this bird. He guides it to another place where there is food. And I can't get into this bird's head, but it probably wasn't worrying about it. It probably just flew where it needed to fly and be provided for. Another example, and this is where it also hit me. This is called a buff-bellied hummingbird. Again, only found in southern Texas. So if you go to some of the state parks down there, they might have some feeding stations where they have, you know, hummingbird feeders or little, I don't know what you call it, little things of water, you know, constant water dripping down for birds to come in and bathe or drink or things like that. Well, some of the places that we went, they were all dried up again. The feeders didn't get full, and you wonder, well, how are these birds going to survive, right? Because that's just normal for them to come to feeders, these types of birds. And we walk around, and you actually start paying attention, and you notice, I don't know if you guys can see, there's another hummingbird. But it can get food from natural plants, the hummingbirds. And it just struck me that what we get used to, what's normal to see a hummingbird coming to a hummingbird feeder, they don't actually need that because God provides for them naturally. And it struck me at that moment, like, how often do I think I need something in a certain way, but yet the Lord is actually providing for me in the way that He knows best, the way that He designed, and yet I try to seek out that need in a different way, expecting Him to answer that way for me. Does that make sense? So Matthew 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I do this all the time. Fear, anxiety, worry. And I think the root of those three things is a lack of faith. How many of us have ever felt better by worrying? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't help to worry. And yet, that's what we tend to do first all the time. How can we stop worrying? How can we stop being anxious? How can we stop living in fear? We're going to get there. But Jesus again turns to nature and tells us to consider wild lilies. I don't know my plants as well as I know birds, so maybe I saw lilies and didn't know it, but I did snap a couple pictures of different plants down in Texas and looked them up. This is called a weeping bottle brush. Kind of a weird name, but it was unique looking and pretty, so I took a picture so I could send it to Misha. She likes plants. Here's another one. This is called an orchid tree. It was probably 40 feet tall, but there was orchids growing on it. Really neat. So again, Jesus tells us to consider the lilies. He says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider, again, that's a command, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So let's just pause there a second. Who's Solomon? If you don't know, in the Old Testament, King David's son was Solomon. He was the wealthiest, wisest king Israel ever had. And people in 1 Kings 4:21, it says, Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. So at that time, you could kind of call him the King of Kings, because other kings were coming to pay him tribute. 1 Kings 10:23, King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. This was the guy to go and see in his glory. And yet Jesus says the glory of Solomon didn't even compare to the wildflowers. And when I was in the airport the other day, I was thinking about that. How does Solomon's glory not even compare to the wildflowers? Even though flowers could be here today and gone tomorrow, they are clothed exactly how God wants them to be. They're not running around, working hard to be beautiful, because they are completely dependent on God. And that's more beautiful than the greatest king on earth. And it got me thinking, have you guys ever been in a southern climate, prickly pear, you see the blooms on the prickly pear? And I was thinking, even in the extreme heat, when the elements could destroy plants quickly, you can still see blooms because God's caring for things. They're completely dependent on God. And that's beautiful. Matthew 6:30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So again, what is Jesus not saying? He's not saying that we shouldn't wear clothes. He's not saying we can't even look fashionable. But Jesus is saying we need to trust deeper in God. Don't get caught up in the cares and worries of this world. God provides everything we need to survive and thrive. And God provides everything we need to accomplish His will for us. So if you think God's not providing your needs, change your perspective. Our needs are not always what God wants to provide for. Well, I should say what we think are our needs are not always what God wants to provide for us. Maybe our perception is wrong. God's blessings to us are seldom worldly comfort. And as I shared with you guys earlier, the Lord's really been working on my heart. And when I was on the airplane, my second flight on the way home, I'm walking up to my seat. It was supposed to be 13A by the window. I like being by the window because I usually don't get up to go to the bathroom, and I don't like to have to get up for people that do. So I like to hide by the window and just fall asleep. Well, I get to row 13A, and it's full. There's a lady sitting in my chair. And she's supposed to be in 12A, and she just says, well, I'm already in here. Do you mind just swapping? And I'm like, that's fine. And then I look in 12A, and there's a guy sitting there. And I check his ticket. He showed me it's supposed to be 12B. And I hate the middle seat. I don't know if you guys like the middle seat. I hate it because I'm kind of chubby, and I usually get stuck between two guys that are chubbier than me. So I always try to get the window or the aisle to get a little bit more room. But you know what's interesting? I just took the middle seat, and I wasn't even irritated about it, church. And I felt so overwhelmed because that was God. Normally, I would get so irritated. I might do the right thing and just, sit in the middle seat, but I'd be grumpy about it the whole flight home. And I was okay. I was fine. And I was overwhelmed because the Lord was providing something for me, and I started to see it. I started to be grateful that I was able to take a plane ride to Texas and I didn't have to drive down there. I was grateful that more than likely I was going to be safe on my way home. You know what I mean? I'm starting to realize the Lord does provide these wonderful things for me. But, you know, 6 months ago, I would have been grumpy saying, Lord, why didn't you provide the seat I wanted? Do you know what I'm saying? But I think the Lord is providing these wonderful things for us, but we need to change our perspectives. He does give us wonderful things. And I am fully convinced that the more faith we have in God, the more we will find peace in our heart and in our mind. And the more faith we have in God, the less we will struggle with fear and anxiety and worry. Let's keep going here. Verses 31 and 32. Therefore, Jesus says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Again, Jesus is using the word Gentiles here. I don't think he's just saying Gentiles don't get these things, but he's saying culturally, he's speaking to Jews when he's preaching the sermon. So you just kind of get this overall picture. The people of God should be living different than the people not of God. The Gentiles, the people not of God, are worrying about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear and what they're going to drink. They're seeking after the things of this world. They're consuming pleasure and seeking comfort from terrible things that happen. And we still see this in today's culture, don't we? People try to get away from all the terrible things. And they try to get as many good things in their life as they can. But the people of God, those who are not consumed by the world's way of thinking, we should be trusting in God's provision and care. Whatever we receive from our Heavenly Father is enough. And it's good. So before we talk about how we can do this, can we all just acknowledge that it's nearly impossible to just remove fear and anxiety and worry? How many of you guys have tried to just, oh, I'm not anxious anymore? It doesn't work, does it, Jesse? You can't just shut that off. Again, going back to my Texas trip, my friend and I were seeking birds. We had a goal in mind. We would plan our days out in advance. What's the weather like tomorrow? Where can we go? What time can we start? If we're going to look for specific birds, we need to look for the right habitat or the right place where they're being seen. We would plan our route based on time of day. You don't want to get to the far end of the refuge where there's no water or bathroom in the heat of the day. Southern Texas is really hot. I got bad sunburn the first day because I didn't reapply sunscreen in the afternoon. There's bugs. There was a lot of mud on some of the trails where we walked. It was caking around our shoes. We looked like clowns walking. All this mud. But you know what's interesting, church? It's easier to deal with all those things, the heat, the sunburn, the bugs, the mud, because we had something important to us that we were seeking. Sure, it might have been a little irritating or annoying, but we didn't care because we had something in our mind that we were seeking after, and we could deal with that stuff because I wanted to get to 500. Jesus also gives us something to seek that has unparalleled value. And we read that in verse 33. Very common verse, you might see it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And again, I highlighted that imperative, but you know what's different about this imperative? I'm not going to go geek out on the Greek for you guys, but just to give you a little background, the Greek language uses tenses a lot more than what we would in English. And the first two that we looked at, when Jesus says, look at the birds and consider the lilies, those are the aorist active imperative. So basically what it's doing is just giving you a screenshot. It's just a fact. He's stating, just look at the birds. Just consider the lilies. But this one here is a present active imperative. So what this tense does, it gives a continuous action. Okay? And I think this is important. I'm not just sharing this with you to teach you about Greek. But this is important to our daily lives. Because Jesus isn't just giving us a snapshot saying, just seek his kingdom, God's kingdom once. This is a continuous action. Does that make sense? So it might be better worded, but be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's important for us because we don't just do it once. Each day we are to be seeking the kingdom of God. Last verse. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Many here who have struggled with addiction or know people who have struggled with addiction know that they are taught just take one day at a time. Don't worry about next week. Don't even worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Just focus on today. Followers of Christ, how are we going to fight against fear, anxiety, and worry? We do it by seeking the kingdom today. So, last picture. We are at the start of a new month today. Seek the kingdom today. And when May 2nd comes, seek the kingdom today. And so on. Jesus says in John 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to live abundant lives. And we can't do that when we are stuck in sin of worry and anxiety and fear. That's not living abundant lives. So how do we seek the kingdom today? Repent of our sin. Take a moment to think about your sins today. And then take a moment to repent of those before your Heavenly Father. Believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus came to save us from the bondage of sin and death. He offers us life, his righteousness. We need to believe that he's the only way to God. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and obey his commandments. We're not saved because we do things. We're saved because Jesus did it. But then he commands us, because you're my followers, you will do these things. It's a response to the faith and the gift of grace that we've received. And then seek the kingdom. Live in faith that Jesus loves you and wants to have a relationship with you and wants you to live life abundantly. Believe it, church. And this morning we're going to seek his kingdom by taking communion together. So if I could get Randy and Paul to start handing that out.